Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a fantastic day today. It's a great Monday, lots of stuff going on, and we're getting tons of packages out to you guys. So, yeah, it's always awesome down here at Health Masters. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing great, blessed beyond measure, shaking down, running over so my cup cannot contain it. Life's great. God's good. Today is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Even if it's raining, even if it's humid, even if it's hot, it makes no difference to me. I decided back in 1979 when I became saved, I'll be in a good mood today, and I'm in a good mood today, bud.
That's the way to be. Well, the first story I want to start off with, a health story today. Another study, again, which a lot of you guys already know this because we talk about it all the time now, but a new study that's just been released is finding that directly that omega-3 can be a significant option for treating attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it may be more effective than scheduled 2 pharmaceuticals like Adderall and amphetamines, because they're finding now that a lot of these kids, in almost every case that they're doing these testing on, that have ADHD symptoms are extremely low in omega-3 levels, including EPA and DHA. The researchers of King's College London examined data from 7 clinical tests of more than 500 children and teenagers and data from 3 other clinical tests of at least 200 children and teenagers. They used the preferred reporting items for systematic reviews and meta-analysis guidelines in the meta-analysis study, and they also established scientific literature databases to indicate suitable studies for the inclusion. They went on to say, we've provided strong evidence now supporting a role for omega-3 deficiencies under polyunsaturated fatty acids in ADHD and for advocating omega-3 supplementation as a clinically relevant information in this group, especially if guided by a biomarker-based personalization approach. From the 7 clinical studies, they discovered that omega-3 fatty acids improve the clinical symptoms of ADHD, such as attention, inattention, and hyperactivity. In addition, the study revealed that the reduction in hyperactivity was only seen when the study participants had 500 milligrams per day or more of EPA, which is, that's not a whole lot of omega-3s, and it made that big of a difference. They said it's omega-3s are crucial for optimal neurotransmitter functioning. They said, for example, incorporation of more EPA and DHA into the diet goes into the cell membrane and can increase cholesterol efflux, modulate lipid RAF clustering and disruption, and affects the function of dopamine transportation. The researchers found that children and teenagers with ADHD had much lower levels of EPA, DHA, and total omega-3s as the control group did. So this is essentially what we have talked about for years and years and years, is what they've done now in the pharmaceutical industry is they found an issue with inability to focus well, hyperactivity, and instead of addressing it and looking at, well, maybe there's a deficiency in their diet, maybe they need different nutrients, maybe they take more nutrients than other children, instead of doing that, we pump them full of a basically 4 amphetamine salt Adderall or some other type of stimulant like that to calm them down, instead of just looking to see something as simple as this, what their overall omega-3 levels were in the body. And when they looked at this, it made a significant difference. That's why it's so important. I tell everybody all the time when they have kids that are having issues with hyperactivity, I said, before you start putting them on these unbelievably addictive scheduled substances like Adderall, put them on some cod liver oil. We have a children's cod liver oil. We have the old-fashioned cod liver oil. The children one's great. Hunter already takes it now. Really, really pure cod liver oil that's got a natural strawberry extract flavor to it. So it tastes good. He enjoys taking it, and he's young, so he's going to be used to taking it. And it really plays a pivotal role in brain development and also helping out with those types of issues that some of these kids may be experiencing now, Dad.
Well, I wrote a book on this. It was Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities. And I worked with so many of these kids in my clinic back in the 80s and the 90s when we had the full-blown clinic going here with our own lab set up. And what was interesting about this, Austin, is that it was always red dyes, blue dyes. It was always hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia as far as high blood sugar, almost pre-diabetic in these kids. And it was always the omega-3 fatty deficiencies. And we always realized that if you got them off the red dyes and the blue dyes and all the artificial colors and flavorings, and you got them on a really good cod liver oil supplement along with methylated B vitamins, in the vast majority of these cases, if it was combined with proper parental control techniques, these children with ADD and ADHD could have a massive turnaround. Here's the problem that we have now 20-some-odd years later. it's not just the ADD and the red dyes and the blue dyes. It's the immunizations and the mercury toxicity and the aluminum toxicity, which is affecting a lot of these kids as far as from a neural cognitive standpoint. So not only we have to deal with the red dyes and the blue dyes and all the chemicals and the food and the glyphosate and everything else, we're having to deal with heavy metal poisoning. It was bad back in the 80s and the 90s, but it wasn't that bad, not like it is today, because they massively increased the shot schedule. So this is the big problem that we have now. So if I was a parent and I had a child with ADD or ADHD, I'd immediately get him off the red dyes, the blue dyes, and all artificial colors and dyes, period. I would put him on the B vitamins, the multiple, the D3, along with the K2. I would also get him on the cod liver oil. And I would really work on behavioral control techniques, and I would discontinue the use of any immunizations whatsoever. And I'd put them on the Kelex at nighttime to try to help get rid of heavy metal. And I'd also put them on the magnesium brain food, which has been shown to chelate heavy metal. I would do that, all of that immediately with these kids, and see what would happen. Because quite frankly, it's a much more complicated approach now with ADD being confused with autism and mild cases of autism. It's just they've really messed things up with the glyphosate and with all of the chemicals and this 70 some odd immunizations and all this heavy metal poisoning these children are being affected with. A couple more things real quick. Remember last week I called out that we could have had a drone involvement in what is happening in Vegas. Well, now we have a new report that there was a drone flying overhead during this FEMA drill that was being done. So I thought I'd mention that because I called that out last week. Plus, a California-based company called Crowds on Demands placed an advertisement on Craigslist back in August for crisis actors in the Las Vegas area. And so this is some crazy stuff that's going on with all of these false flags. You don't know how much of this stuff was staged, how much wasn't staged. And here's the other thing. You don't know how many people who were admitted to the hospital were admitted to hospital with gunshot wounds, or were admitted to the hospital because they got trampled in a crowd, or they got hurt trying to climb over an 8-foot fence, or they got pushed into a fence, or got crunched, or got a bone broken, or somebody stepped on their hand. You don't know what in the world these people were hospitalized for, and how many of them were injured trying to flee out of the situation. So, guys, this thing is continuing to unfold. We're going to have Robert David Steele on this week. He'll either be on Thursday or Friday of this week with me again, former CIA agent. You guys really like him, and I want to bring him back on and see if we can get him to go ahead and give some clarity on what he thinks is happening, because he pretty much said every major attack in the United States in the past 20 years, that every single one of them has been a false flag. So I want to bring him on and see what he thinks concerning this, especially towards the end of this week when we'll have almost a full 2 weeks to talk about this. So I wanted to share that with you. By the way, Black Lives Matter shut down a free speech event because they said, quote, liberalism is white supremacy. Now, I don't even know where they draw the line here, but here's what the article says. William & Mary College of Virginia, Black Lives Matter interrupted a speech on the topic of free speech by the ACLU, shouting that the ACLU protects Hitler because it assisted the alt-right in obtaining a permit to demonstrate in Chartersville in August. The Black Lives Matter group chanted, "Liberalism is white supremacy and the revolution will not uphold the Constitution." Black Lives Matter is one of the major leftist groups that, although it claims to be concerned over racial discrimination, serves the role of providing actors to create the theater of revolution on TV and the internet. The purpose of the theater is to condition the American people to accept martial law as inevitable. Martial law is the end game of those who finance these actors on both sides of the conflict, including the alt-right, which was defended by the ACLU, which they say are neo-Nazis. The real issue here is not the right to free speech or the right to protest, but the absence of any right to use coercion or violence in the pursuit of your political objectives. In other words, these guys are paid mercenaries. Both sides of the current conflict are playing the violence card to move the country into the end game, which is martial law. Argument over free speech or racial discrimination are merely diversions. That's absolutely correct. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, there's some, I mean, again, if you guys listen to the show on Friday, I brought up some very valid points that nobody's been able to even address at all, because nobody can figure out the answers to this. None of this makes any sense. And even last week, and it's funny because I talked about this on Monday and Tuesday, and, you know, we've seen this happen so many times with the FBI literally creating fake terrorist giving them bombs, giving them fake C4, helping them go do stuff with undercover agents, and then busting them right before they hit the detonator. I mean, those are just, I mean, I can literally name off like four or five incidents that I've read about just in a couple of years where they talk about the terror plot. Exposed, you know, terrorists busted, and it's always the FBI sets everything up. Well, I just saw this. I didn't realize Julian Assange, the guy from WikiLeaks, the one that leaks all this stuff out all the time about Hillary, all that stuff last year. The end of last week, he posted on Twitter, and he said, and I quote, he said, almost all terror plots are created by the FBI as part of its business model. What is the business of the FBI? It's extracting tax. What does it need to do that? A stable threat. Problem? Real terrorists are sporadic and make FBI look weak. Solution? Make them commit an attack. This is what he's talking about as far as we've seen this over and over and over and over again. They get bombs, they get these guys, they get stuff riled up. We don't even know, honestly, half the time if these guys are fully coherent. We don't know if they're under the influence of drugs. We don't know if they've been given a shot. We don't know if they've been given a pill. We don't know if they've inhaled something. You don't know what's involved in it. But the whole thing that we constantly see now that's being used, and it's gone so aggressive since 2001, is the terror model, just like he says. There always has to be a boogeyman. There has to be a bad guy out there that we're always trying to fight, that's willing, and that because of this, we have to be willing to give up our freedoms so they can protect us further. But if you guys have noticed, and I talked about this on the Hagmann Show, the level of which these situations, whether they're real, whether they're staged, whether they're false, whether they're hoaxed, I don't know 100%, but every time they step it up another level, it gets more violent. There's more body counts. There's more people injured. There's more guns to the point where this one now, where they almost, not almost, what am I saying? They did go overboard with it to the point they had so many guns in that room, it's not even believable for people that don't even like guns. I've talked to multiple people over the weekend when I was out and about, just brought stuff up, random places I was going, and one guy mentioned me, he goes, the thing that doesn't make any sense to me, he goes, I get, you know, I've heard about barrels heating up and guns and stuff like that. He goes, I don't know much about them. He goes, but why the heck would you bring 30 guns up to a hotel room? He goes, that seems almost like somebody was trying to make a point, like he had too many guns and we need to take them away. And I said, exactly. That's the whole point. I said, none of this makes any sense. I said, all the way from when I talked about the Hagmann Show, this 64-year-old guy taking a hammer and beating out this high-rise glass. I still have been able, I know I talked to Joe and I talked to Doug on Friday about this. We've been trying to figure out exactly what brand and what strength rating the glass is used at that hotel at the Mandalay Bay. I used to work for ICF Builders installing hurricane windows and doors up in high-rise hotels up in Amelia Island years ago when I got out of college. Those were extremely dense windows because they're on the coast. They have to be able to handle anything and not break. The ratings that they were tested at is they could take a 2x4 at 150-mile-an-hour impact and have no significant penetration on the backside. It could be defaced, but it could not have penetration. I don't know what Mandalay Bay is rated at, but I know they are in Vegas. They do have sandstorms. They do have very high winds out there sometimes. So you know those glass that they use on those is extremely hard. They are not just gonna, it's not, people are acting like this is like single pane residential glass. Like he just walked up and took a hammer and hit the window and the glass just splintered out and broke out in a giant shard. It doesn't do that. You have to sit there and score it and score it and score it all the way around and start to beat it out. Remember, this is safety glass too. When you hit it, it's not just gonna shatter like a single pane glass and come out in giant chunks everywhere. It's gonna splinter. Then you have to try and push through it. Then you have to try and shoot through it. Then you have to try and kick through it, then you have to try and push out sections of it so you can get good sighting out of it. None of that in the photos look to me anything like that. It looks like almost they put a demo on it, like they put a C4 charge or a breaching charge on the inside of it, hit the button on it, blew the window straight out, and that was it. It was too clean. And not even that, nobody seemed to notice these giant pieces of glass flying from 300 feet out in the air, hitting the ground. Nobody bothered to notice that. All this stuff, man, just simple facts. Now some people are starting to say the whole thing was staged. They were all actors. I don't know. I've read some things that people have said blatantly they knew people out there. The hard part with doing completely staged acting and not even anybody getting shot in a situation this big is there's so many loose ends to tie up with 20,000 plus people there. But again, his dad just made a valid point. There were 500 something people injured. How many of those were broken wrists from tripping over people? How many of those were from people falling on the objects and cutting themselves and scraping themselves up? How many of those were somebody stampeding and getting a concussion because they got stomped on? There's all types of injuries when you're dealing with tens of thousands of people in a small confined area that run out in an uncontrolled manner. So how many people actually came in with 5-6 gunshot wounds? That's really what I would like to see. I would like to see the hospital report, the whole report from that night of how many people entered the hospital with rifle gunshot wounds, because they'll have that. They have that information there. They report all that. So if they come in and they say, well, we had like 15 people come in with gunshot wounds, okay, then we know something's fishy, something's real fishy. Everything about this is the more research we keep doing on it, as I talked about on Friday too, one of the planes that he has essentially been up in Virginia since 2004 now. That whole thing's weird. His plane, which is a Cirrus SR-20, supposedly, tail number register him, N5343M. If you look under flightware.com, it's listed that it's been up in Virginia at Volant LLC since 2004. Volant is a Department of Defense contract. Volant Associates is right down the road from them. So this guy has a plane that's registered in his name, that's still registered with the FFA, that's been at a defense contracting company in Virginia on the other side of the country for the last 3 years, and nobody finds that odd. To me, this sounds like this guy turns out to be somebody like Barry Seal off that American Made movie, and he's been working with ATF and the FBI running guns and running dope, and he happened to either be the one that they settled on to use for this, or they set him up to do this, or they were going to pay him a significant amount of money to do this and extract him out. I don't know, but all I'm seeing right now is the more research we start doing, Dad does, the Hagmans do, Dave does, none of this stuff is adding up whatsoever to me, and it's all starting to smell like a complete and total setup from the beginning, well before it even started. This thing, in my opinion, has been planned for months on end. They knew exactly what they were going to do before it even happened. There's even that blog that's been reported now, and there's screenshots of it, there's timestamps of it, of the individual that was on one of the blog websites talking about, it was September 10th, he was discussing this, about being very careful about Vegas. Don't be going anywhere where you think any suspicious activity is going in Vegas. If you see multiple black vans lined up anywhere, get out of the situation. That he said more than likely something is going to be happening very, very soon in Vegas. Do not trust anything that's going on over there. Well, guys, that was 3 weeks ago, and regardless if the guy was a nutbag or not, or if he was just running his mouth, it's pretty ominous that he started talking about that 3 weeks ago on this blog, and now all of a sudden we had this situation happen that they're still dubbing the most violent, deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. And as I said on Friday as well, and we notice almost every shooting, it keeps doing the same thing. The Pulse Knight shooting, every single transcript that came up, the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Again, another one when they had Sandy Hook, the most violent mass shooting involving children in U.S. history. They play the same thing over and over and over again to keep invoking as much fear as they can into us. So everybody be diligent. Keep doing your research. Keep talking to people on Vegas. We need to expose this thing for what it is. And if everybody keeps working on this and keeps digging in and talking to people they know and doing the research out in Vegas, I'm going to be out there in 3 weeks. I'm going to go out there for the SEMA show, the truck show. We have a couple of vehicles going out there my buddy has. I was already planning on going out there before this happened. I'm still going out there, and I'm going to physically go over to Mandalay Bay as far as I can get in if they don't block you from going to the hotel, which I don't think they will because they're still doing commerce there. And I'm going to try and go over to the area that the shooting took place, and I actually want to walk this thing out, and I want to look at it from ground zero and see how effective this guy really could have been from that angle at that distance, because the photos don't do it justice. The videos don't do it justice. Once you're actually there and you start seeing all this stuff, you get a lot better idea of how this stuff could have gone down. So I'm going to do the best I can to do that and hopefully be able to report it some in a couple weeks when I'm out there, Dad.
Okay, a couple quick things. Number one, there are underneath the windows, there are large roof lines that are set up for the parking areas and for the entrance to the hotel. So if the glass fell, it would have probably fallen on top of those roof lines and not to the ground. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, I was watching a video the other day of a man whose mom was a nurse, and he was acting as a paramedic. He was basically running through the crowd, and he was checking people's pulses, and he was calling for paramedics to come over, which he could not find any paramedics. And he found one person who had blood all over him, but he could not find an entry wound or an exit wound, which he thought was very strange. Then he's basically trying to help these guys, and finally some guy walks up to him, says, "What are you doing?" He goes, "Man, there's all these people. They're all alive in here." He goes, "No, no, no, no. There's a closed area. Everybody in here is dead." And I went, "Whoa, everybody." And this is the guy saying, "Everybody in here is dead." "Well, they're not." And he goes, "No, they're not dead." He goes, "I got a bunch of pulses from a bunch of them. We need medevacs. We need people in here to find out if these people are okay. Try to help them." And then in the video, and then the guy goes, "Well, who are you?" He goes, "Well, my mom's a nurse, and I've been trained in all this stuff, and I'm trying to help you guys." Well, but then also the video went blank, and I thought, that's interesting. Now we find out there's a drone flying overhead. Now we find out that the windows were broken out like they were, which they could have used one of those real small tip hammers that you get in automobiles, Austin. A lot of times you use those in case the car goes underwater. They sell them as a kit, and they're made specifically to break glass. And what they do, they are like a real pinpoint end on like a 2-pound hammer, and you hit it, and it creates a fracture in the glass. But like you said, if it's safety glass with plastic between it or layers on it, you got to beat the mess out trying to get it out. It'd be a big mess trying to get it out. So there's a lot of things going on here now. Again, I didn't see a bunch of ambulances running. Again, I didn't see the ambulances running. Now, there could have been. There could have been a lot of ambulances running for the people who got tromped and stomped, you know, trying to get out of the venue. So I don't know, guys. I don't know what happened here. I told you this last week. I said it on Hagman. Nobody knows, and the FBI now has again seized all of the video evidence from all of the hotels in the area showing this guy coming and going and everything that happened. So the FBI has all of the tape again, just like they did with the Pentagon, and it took us, 12 years with the Freedom of Information Act to get like 5 frames released of the Pentagon being hit, and it never even showed a plane. So, guys, I don't trust anything these saboteurs guys are doing. This, to me, I think this is, and I said this last week, I think this is a CIA / Mossad internal false flag done to us again, just like the Orlando Pulse shooting, which nothing was true that we found out over there. And see, that's the thing, guys. We went there and we were told there were bullet holes all over the building by the media. There wasn't a bullet hole anywhere. So the whole thing is, I'm glad Austin's going to go out there and he can talk to some people. And maybe you can talk to Wayne Allen Root while you're there, Austin. I'll set up a meeting with you and him, and maybe you can be on his show or whatever. And that way you can turn around and figure out what he knows, because he has the inside pulse on all of this. And he had actually written an article linking the owner, the CEO of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, to organized crime. So there's something seriously wrong here. Remember, all organized crime has to be funded, and that's why the CIA, the Mafia, the Mossad, and organized crime always work together, just like they did when they were running the drugs out of Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, when they all worked together to put 50 kilos of heroin into every casket that was coming over from every GI, and they were actually bringing in heroin that way into the United States to fund the CIA black operations. We have a government that is completely and totally out of control, being run by the deep state, being controlled by the international Sabbatean bankers, being controlled by the Mossad, the CIA, and all of these deep counterintelligence organizations. Guys, this is a big mess, and who knows, it'll be another thing with we've never yet seen a report from the Pulse nightclub. It's never been released. Not once have I seen the media say, "We're releasing the Pulse nightclub." That's been over a year ago. They can't do a report over here. It's like I told Doug Hagman on the show on Friday night. I said, the first thing we hear, the guy has 8 guns. Well, then he has 18 guns. Well, then he has 25 guns. Well, now he's got 37 guns. I mean, can they not count? Can somebody not walk in there and count? And here's the other thing, too. How do we know that this is the shooter, that the guy blew his face off? You look at the picture, his entire face is gone. You don't know who that is unless you run DNA tests on that guy, on that corpse. You run fingerprints on that corpse and dental records on that corpse. They're telling us that this guy, he doesn't have a face anymore. We have absolutely no idea if this wasn't some stooge that they basically shot in the face, brought him up there, and this guy had nothing to do with it, and he's got himself in a non-extradition country now, living the life of Riley down there somewhere else, and his name, and they've used him, and this is how they had to get... Okay, I'm going to go way out on a limb. Barry Seals, if you watch that movie, American Made, the drug people knew him. Instead of the government and the CIA working with him and helping him to get a new identity and going into the witness protection program and getting him a whole bunch of plastic surgery and everything else they do for some of these guys. They didn't do anything. They put him in community service, basically, that he had to work in this halfway house in the middle of the night for like 100 straight days, and they did that to him so they could find a way to get him assassinated. If they really had a relationship with this guy, if he was indeed running guns and they wanted to keep him, you know, as a pilot or whatever, Austin, they could have put a body in that hotel, blown its face off, said it was him, and we would not know the difference, son. We would not know the difference. And because they could lie about the general, they could lie about everything.
Well, no, and the whole thing about it is, from the very beginning, as we already saw, the FBI tried to come in and take control over the whole situation. So by the time you figure his body got put on ice, got taken into the coroner, took wherever it was at, and they were actually going to do a full autopsy or whatever they're going to do to examine it, it's going to be a couple of days, especially with all the events that happened. It was on a Sunday night. So by that time, the FBI could have already said, well, this is involving some type of terrorist activity. Obviously, we're taking the case. We're going to head to seize the body now. We're going to put it in a body bag. We're going to put it in our freezer. We're going to take it to our coroner, and we're going to handle the situation from here. And now there's no fingerprints, no dental records, no nothing, and this guy's disappeared. Nobody knows who he was. We never see anything legitimate. Then the FBI releases a report, and a couple weeks from now, they're like, yeah, this is definitely him. We had him identified. We basically did investigation on it. That's this is Paddock, and this is what it is. So you guys have to take our word for it. Everything we've seen, and you know, and that was the whole thing we talked about with Sandy Hook years ago when that happened, is that there were never any bodies. There were never footage of body bags coming one after another, one after another. The parents were never allowed to go in and identify anything. Then there was multiple videos, I mean multiple videos, of the takes before they would actually do the interview, and people sitting there laughing, joking around, reading paper, and then all of a sudden they'd say, all right, we're live in five, and all of a sudden they put this whole face on, and then they, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. All this stuff, I mean, you can go online, you just look on YouTube on that. I mean, that's all over the place, and nobody's ever been able to rebuttal that. Those are legit videos. They weren't doctored. These were the guys that were supposedly parents that had their kids shot in this school, and all of a sudden, 10 seconds before they go live, they're joking and laughing with somebody on the set, and then all of a sudden they put this solemn face on like they're actors. This is not something abnormal. We've seen this for years now. So whether or not that many people got shot there, I don't know. Whether that many people died there, I don't know. I think it would be pretty hard to pull something off to this level with this many people involved and not have any real casualties. But I do believe that the 500-plus wounded has been massively, massively overbloated, in my opinion. I think, like Dad said, I think a lot of the numbers they're counting there are just injuries from falling over, tripping, spraining ankles, knocking teeth out, breaking a wrist, just nominal things when people run out of crowds like that. And not to mention, I still haven't seen the hospital report, which I promise you we will never see, of how many gunshot. There aren't that many gunshot victims in Vegas. You know, you may be able to account for 1, 2, 3 on a Sunday night that could have been some type of homicide or something else, maybe. There should be, you know, hundreds of gunshot victims that got brought into the hospital there in Las Vegas at 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. getting admitted. No question about that. Not to mention, there should have been a humongous amount of triage at that situation. I mean, with that many people injured, there would have to be hundreds of people laid out waiting for triage while paramedics are trying to say, okay, this guy's got an open sucking chest wound from a 5.56 caliber. He's got to get an ambulance now. We got this guy has a small flesh wound in his shoulder from it looks like a rifle caliber. Compression that, hold it tight, and then we'll get him to the hospital as soon as possible. I saw a lot of videos, and granted, I wasn't there, that's the problem, but I didn't see any of that. 500-plus people triage in Vegas? That's huge. They'd be lined up down the road. That's a massive amount of people. You'd have ambulances running back and forth for literally hours on end. I mean, hours on end, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They don't have that many ambulances to handle that many people in one trip. Physically can't do it. So everything about this, like you said, Dad, it's really, really weird to me. And then as soon as everything happened, they immediately stopped the SHARE Act, the Reciprocity Concealed Carry Act. They want to ban all these guns again. They want to ban bump fires. All this stuff just reeks of the agenda that they always push. So I'm not surprised at all with this.
Well, like I said, Paddock may have needed a new identity. They made it have a high-profile death, so they can say he got killed in this, and now they've given him another job to do as a different individual in a different country, and maybe he's deep operative with the CIA. These instrument-rated pilots, they don't come a dime a dozen as far as the guys that are willing to do things like Barry Seals did. And so they need to be protected with these guys, and that's what they do. They protect them. I mean, guy's a multimillionaire. Okay. By the way, California hepatitis outbreak is getting getting worse. It's on the verge of a statewide epidemic. The California hepatitis A outbreak is on the verge of reaching epidemic status from San Diego north to Sacramento. California health officials have reported that at least 569 people have been infected with hepatitis A liver disease, and 17 have already died since the San Diego County outbreak was first identified in November. Cases have migrated north to homeless populations in Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, San Francisco, and Sacramento in the last 11 months. This has passed through feces, guys, and it's a major problem. We had it happen here. We had it happen here with a Long John Silver's. And what happens is the guy was mixing up coleslaw. He didn't wash his hands, and he had hepatitis. He had poop on his hands from using the bathroom. He gets his arms down the side of this coleslaw and basically contaminates this entire batch of coleslaw. And we had a whole bunch of people in our area die from hepatitis back in the 90s. So this is a very, very big problem in unclean conditions with food and with people not washing their hands when they're restaurant workers, guys. So this apparently is getting worse and worse and worse because of all the homeless in California and the tent cities they have there. And all of this stuff seems to be spreading everywhere over there. And again, it'll be probably another giant push for more and more and more vaccinations. Absolutely crazy. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. It seems like every time there's ever an issue, that's always the first thing that they bring up is, oh, we need more vaccinations. We need more vaccinations. Also, in other news, too, as far as involving antibiotics, another study published in Science revealed that the antibiotic use in animals raised for human consumption is now projected to increase by 52%. And reaching 200,000 tons by 2030. Health experts have cautioned that the higher antibiotic use may signal the development of new strains of antibiotic-resistant infections. Data from 37 countries to carry out this study, according to the research team, large quantities of these are now being used in modern animal farming to prevent disease and promote growth. Globally, animals receive almost three times as many antibiotics as people. Although much of this use is not medically necessary, and many strains of the antibiotic-resistant infections are now coming in people after originating in our livestock. That's why it's so important that you're making sure you're getting antibiotic-free organic meat. This stuff, there's a lot of on the market that's really cheap with antibiotics, not something you guys want to be putting in your body, Deb.
Absolutely right. Of course, it'll do all kinds of other things, including make you grow man boobs. If you're a guy, if you're just starting a lot of beef that has diethylstilbestrol or female growth hormone stuck into it. By the way, Colin Kaepernick now says that he wants to get back into the NFL, and he actually says now that he will no longer kneel if he gets his job back. I just thought I'd mention that. And Jerry Jones, oh God, these guys are just unbelievable. And Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, has said that they will not kneel and play on his team. So I'm really excited about that for him. And ISIS fighters, the ones who have pledged basically they're in Syria, they were going to fight or die, have begun surrendering in mass since the United States has stopped funding them and giving them their new Toyotas and their new, you know, pop-top meals and everything else they got to have. And so now we have their prisoners were taken to waiting rooms in groups of four, and they were told to stand facing concrete walls, you know, as they, more than 1,000 prisoners determined to be Islamic State fighters passed through the room last week into Iraq and basically surrendered as ISIS fighters. So apparently now, guys, that we're not giving them free food and free stuff anymore, and Trump decided not to do that and fund that through the CIA, these guys are having no place to go besides back to Iraq. So I think that's absolutely a win-win for Donald Trump. What do you think, Oz?
I think you're absolutely correct on that. I think a lot of the funds, a lot of the weapons, a lot of the stuff that we've been seeing now pop up. I mean, I talked about that a couple months ago as far as how much weapons and ammunition, all stuff the Pentagon just keeps losing in the Middle East. Oh, we don't know where 150,000 machine guns went. They just disappeared. We don't know what happened to them. We had 8 pallets of ammunition disappear. We don't know what happened to them. This is nonsense. I mean, at the very, very least, it's absolute criminal negligence with other people's money. At the very worst, we're funding ISIS, which I think it's we're funding ISIS because these guys aren't that stupid. So, yeah, you're probably right. There's probably been numbers. There's probably been funds, all this stuff, especially with the whole budget that was coming up. And Trump was able to look at a lot of that, and he goes, why is this going here? What is this? Why are we losing billions of dollars a year giving money away to a country and weapons, and then we can't even keep track of the weapons? Cut this off, cut this off, cut this off. We're not funding this crap anymore. And so what's happened now is exactly what you said. The MREs are in short supply for the ISIS fighters. Their ammunition and their free machine guns are in short supply, and all of a sudden, well, this isn't fun. We're not getting airdrops of MREs and machine guns every week anymore. This isn't fun to fight this anymore. I think we're just going to give up and go someplace that's going to take care of us. That, to me, it sounds like what a lot's going on with this. But, of course, we'll end up coming up with a new boogeyman eventually through the CIA and the Black Ops here shortly, and it won't be ISIS. Remember, it was Al-Qaeda forever. It was Al-Qaeda, and then that kind of phased out because the name was whatever. And so everybody's like, oh, it's ISIS now. Okay, now it's ISIS. Well, now it'll be something else in a couple years. They'll come up with something else that we have to stay in the Middle East for, to continue to fight, to make sure we protect all the poppies so we can keep the heroin going. That's why we have 15,000 troops again in Afghanistan as it continues to grow. That's exactly why we're still over there. Anyways, on other news, too, I thought this was a pretty wild story. As this teacher didn't even get in trouble at all, as they're trying to show more and more, they're trying to really spark racial tensions in school now. You know, we saw the photo from the individual on Twitter that condemned Hobby Lobby for having fake cotton in a vase, which was the most asinine thing I've ever seen in my life. When I saw that, I said, do you guys really believe that cotton was only picked by slaves in the 1800s in the United States? Do you think cotton's never been grown anywhere else in the world by any other person and nobody else has picked it? This is ridiculous. Well, now, this teacher at Whitney High School in California, of course, subjected her students against their will to living as a slave in her class. I kid you not, according to the reports, eighth grade student, Timothy Raines, went home and told his parents that essentially his hands had been forcibly taken together as part of a slave ship reenactment during one of the classes. He said that the parents had received an email from her son's teacher explaining that they would be participating in a unique classroom experience, but no idea of what would be involved was given. They said the nature of this unique classroom activity was not disclosed whatsoever by the teacher, and it was going to be a surprise. The children were forced to lie down in darkness after they had their hands taped together and forced to watch clips of the show The Roots, which is a History Channel drama that supposedly documents the plight of early black slaves. CBS Los Angeles reports that Raze and his fellow students were instructed to line up and go through with the alleged reenactment as outlined by their teacher, and it appears they were not given the option to not participate. After hearing from many upset parents about the event, the school decided to no longer allow that in the curriculum. As horrifying as this experience may have been for students, neither the teacher that instructed the reenactment nor any other faculty members appeared to have suffered any consequences from their lack of judgment. The school simply called the whole thing off and moved on. Now, here's my thing about this. If a teacher wants to add this in their curriculum, which I don't think they should, but if they want to try to do that, you should not, in most cases, schools don't allow this, for students to have any type of touch from a teacher, being able to take them up, grab them, make them lie on the floor, put them in the dark, or watch any type of documentary without the express consent of their parents and them riding off on it. So what they used to always do with any type of field trip, movies in class, any type of acting that they're doing. So for them to do this without even getting any type of express consent really boggles my mind, but it does not surprise me, is because this is what they're doing to the younger generation in school. They're doing the best they can to completely pollute their minds into thinking every single thing about the past is bad, everything the United States was involved in was bad. Here's the thing that nobody understands, and there are a lot of people don't understand. I should say that. The individuals that had slaves in the Civil War, before the Civil War, the 1800s, everybody always has this ideology that it was like this really stuck-up white family on a plantation that owned thousands of slaves, and they sat there on the front porch and played on their iPads and watched TV and drank tea all day while the slaves worked 10, 20, 30 hours, you know, every couple days, and basically were beaten. It was the 1800s. There's no AC. There's no television. There's no computer. There's no internet. These were family farms that had to be worked on. Every single person in the farm, including the children, worked their butt off every single day, and they added in more individuals when they found out that they could start bringing people over from the slave trade and have them work and not have to add in a massive amount of expenses except for their housing and their food. People always have this ideology that all the slave owners in the United States sat there and watched and laughed as slaves worked, and they basically made all this money off their backs, and they did absolutely nothing. That couldn't be any further from the truth. So them showing videos like this and trying to make everybody feel like they need to be, you know, feel sorry, and they basically need to pay money back to reparations to anybody who was involved in that back in the 1800s is really, really, really offensive to me. And considering the fact that my entire family's from Germany, as Dabs was, I don't have any bone to pick with this at all. I wasn't even here. I wasn't even involved in this. So to sit there and couple an entire race of individuals just because of the color of your skin and say, you need to be involved in this, you need to feel bad about slavery, you need to throw us money and give us reparations because of what you did, I had nothing to do with it. And to even make an allegation like that towards another race is blatantly racist, which completely makes the point null and invalid. That's my take on it.
Well, also, you have to understand, Eli Whitney developed the cotton gin, and so by the early and middle 1800s, slaves were no longer economically viable as far as picking cotton, because cotton gin could pick 100 times more than a slave could. I mean, so the slaves were being phased out anyhow. And a lot of the slaves, after they were set free, after the Civil War, they chose to remain with their families on the plantations because they've been treated so well. In addition to that, black people also own slaves. Newsflash. It wasn't just white people owned slaves. And the slaves that were brought over, the indentured servants that came over from Ireland and had to work for 7-8 years for their boardage on the ship, they basically had to work their butts off as slaves in the United States. So white people were slaves, black people were slaves, white people owned slaves, black people owned slaves. I mean, it's complete nonsense. And see, not every slave owner was a bad person, and not every slave was a bad slave, and not every person didn't mind working their indentured servitude off. And I'm not saying that slavery overall is an institution that should have been kept, because it should not have been kept. I'm completely diametrically opposed to it. But we've got to look back at the real history and who these people really were and how they treated these people who they considered sometimes to be family members. A lot of these black nannies who worked in the houses, they raised the children. They nursed the children. They were wet nurses. They fed the babies. I mean, gosh, come on, guys. Really? Think through this. I mean, some of these people developed deep emotional bonds. In fact, some of the slave owners, like some of the guys we know, like Jefferson and a lot of the other boys, they actually had girlfriends who were slaves, and they had sex with them on a regular basis and had children with them. I mean, so it's not one of these things that, you know, we look back and we see these guys and we go, wow, okay, well, how do you know he raped the slave? How do you know the slave didn't want to have sex with him when he did? I mean, you don't know who in the world what happened. You can't go back 200-300 years and pick the brains of Thomas Jefferson or somebody else and say, why did you do this? Why did you do that? I mean, we don't know unless they wrote about it in their journals. We have no idea. It's all pure speculation on our part. But to want reparations on something that happened several hundred years ago that we had nothing to do with doesn't make any sense to me. By the way, multiculturalism is the splintering the West. We've talked about this. This is a really good article by Miyati. And she goes, multiculturalism is leading to the partition or the separation of the European society. We're talking about what's happening in Germany right now. Under European multiculturalism, Muslim women have lost many rights they should have had in Europe. Multiculturalism is, in fact, based on the legalization of a Sharia society. This is what they want to have in Europe now. In 2016, a total of 142 failed, foiled, and completed attacks were reported by 8 EU member states. That's a lot, guys. More than half, 76 of them, were reported by the United Kingdom. France reported 23 attacks, Italy 17, Spain 10, Greece 6, Germany 5, Belgium 4, Netherlands 1. 142 victims died in terrorist attacks, and 379 were injured in the EU. This is much higher rates than what we've had over in this false flag we just had in Vegas. 1,002 persons were arrested for terrorist offenses in 2016. These countries all tried to integrate Muslim communities, but all came to the same dead end. As long as that continues, the failure of integration will pose a mortal threat to Europe, the Wall Street Journal wrote after a suicide bombing that killed 22 people in Manchester. According to a new book by the French reporter Mendel, He goes on to say that it's leading to a separation in European societies. So guys, we have to realize here, there's nothing wrong with being a Muslim. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist. I mean, who cares? You can choose your own life, choose your own destiny, choose your own future, choose your own eternity, whatever you want to do. Problem is, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord when it's over, and it'll be too late. That's the problem these guys have, because nobody else got resurrected from the dead like Jesus did in all these different religions. So here's the problem that we have. The more we accept multiculturalism, remember when I was in Greece and we had the Uber driver, and they were talking about how they were taking these little boys out in these Muslim communities from these immigrants, and they were sending them out as basically prostitutes, little 7-8-year-old sons. They were raping them, and they were doing all of these horrible things to them in these Muslim communities that were basically outside of the city of Athens. And they said, welcome, the Uber driver said, welcome to multiculturalism. Guys, this is some sick stuff that these guys do to their own people. It's some sick stuff that's being done globally by guys that are just pretending like they're wanting to be free from a situation in another country or their political dissonance or whatever, and they're not. A lot of these guys are trained soldiers, trained people that are coming in to destroy Europe. Last Monday, I went into detail, if you haven't heard that show yet, on who's doing this, why they're doing it, and why Europe is being punished. So guys, if you want to hear that show, listen to it again, Austin. What do you think?
No, absolutely. That's clearly what's going on over there, and that's why now they're wanting to add even more people in there and give these guys basically visas to travel in there. That's what they said. Now, well, we're having so many issues with the illegal immigration that's coming in here and these guys that are coming in. We're just going to start bringing them in now and issuing 50,000 visas a year, which you already know. As soon as they say that number, you could, like we've talked about before, you can already throw an extra zero on that just from the get-go. But all they have to do is at least put it out there and get people okay with it. So they say, well, we had a little run over. You know, we, instead of 50,000, it went to 500,000. You know, sure. It's kind of like that. And then next year, well, it went from 500,000 to 5 million. I don't know what happened with it. It's just we issued them. We didn't really want to say no to anybody. We figured it was easier to give them that and just give them basically Euro visas. And that way they can travel all through Europe uncontrolled, unblocked, unbridled, and do anything they want in any of the countries. That's what they're doing next. Also, too, in health news now, another study. Now, whether or not they're trying to use this as a vaccine ploy, I'm not sure, but it's coming from the WebMD, which I thought is interesting, but I do know how important prenatals are. It says, this from the WebMD, it says, taking a multivitamin during pregnancy now may actually reduce the child's risk of developing autism, a new study suggests. They analyzed more than 250,000 children that were in Sweden. Researchers found a link, but not a cause and effect proof. However, they said that between multivitamin use and the risk of neurological disorder is what they tested. They said multivitamin use was associated with a lower likelihood of child autism with intellectual disability compared to with mothers who did not use supplements, said lead researcher Elizabeth DeWilbish. She said the odds of autism in the multivitamin group were 30% lower. She said those also trying to conceive can benefit from starting multivitamin supplementation before getting pregnant. Now, what this may be, because in that you can chime in on this in a second, because I mean this is a pretty big research study with 250,000 people. That's not something you can really skew those numbers that effectively. What more than likely happens is when you're taking in the high doses of real good folate, like we have good multivitamins, omega-3s, it probably provides a significant amount of protection to the child, especially if they're going to be vaccinated, but it doesn't completely prevent it from happening. What do you think about this article, Deb?
It's multifaceted, Austin. It can be the folate, and it can also be the D3. Because remember, when you don't have enough D3 when you're pregnant, your macrophages can't operate properly, and they're not very good as far as handling the onslaught of the immunizations that so many mothers give their children. So if the macrophages don't work, if the D3 isn't activated on those macrophages, you don't have a macrophage-activating molecule, you end up in a situation where the immune system, the white blood cell count, is completely compromised, which ends up putting you into what that's called the encephalitic scream, and your brain starts swelling after the immunizations. So yes, having enough D3 in your diet and to ensure that infant, if you're going to immunize that infant, that he has a better chance of not being brain damaged by the vaccination. So I think that's a very valid study. In addition to that, you have the methylated B vitamins. So ladies, use our prenatals. We've got the best, Health Masters has the best prenatals out there. And on that third trimester, I always tell folks to start taking at least another tablespoon of cod liver oil every single day, because that third trimester is when that massive brain development begins. And if that mother doesn't have sufficient quantities of omega-3 in her diet, it will suck it out of her brain, causing postpartum depression. So always remember, guys, it's so important that we stay together, you know, as far as from a nutrition standpoint, when we get pregnant with our wives, and support them in all of these different things that they need to do in order to eat right. By the way, I want to cover this with you guys. I sent out an email the other day to a friend of mine who basically is a pastor, and it was a Chuck Baldwin email, and Chuck Baldwin was talking about what happened in the what happened in Vegas. Now, what happened is, I'm going to read you some of this email text back and forth that I got, because this is something that you guys need to be aware of. Chuck said this. He said, the answer is not gun control. The answer is for America's pastors to stop play acting in the pulpit, stop worrying about offending people, stop following these prosperity preachers, and start being the courageous prophets to the nation that they should have been all along. And to me, I say amen to that. I sent that to a friend of mine who believes in prosperity, and he basically hammered that and didn't like it at all. And I said, well, I like Chuck. He has testosterone. He's not always right, but he is a patriot. Plus, he's a gun guy. And I said, but to me, I agree with 90% of what Mr. Baldwin says, so to me, he gets an A. I said, prosperity preaching is great as long as it's balanced with action. Most prosperity preachers don't balance anything. Chuck is right about that. They're too afraid to offend, and they simply don't want to let you know what you need to do as a Christian. And so then I went on to tell him, I mentioned a national pastor, which I won't mention on the show again, who does the prosperity stuff. And I said, I like him as an individual, but he's kind of a candy in the pulpit. He refuses to cover controversial issues. He cops out by saying it's not his calling. I said, his preaching is not balanced. I said, preachers are called to preach, not to compromise. If you can't, you don't have to rip somebody apart, but you need to at least inform. I agree with the work that these guys are doing as far as getting people saved, but they need to discuss sin, such as gays, abortion, promiscuity, etc. Not once have I ever heard these types of preachers talk about these types of problems or these types of sin. And, of course, my pastor friend got very, very upset with me for saying that, because he said it's not their calling. My response to him was, look, if you're called to be a minister of the gospel, if you're called to be in the pulpit, if you're called to tell the truth, you've got to tell the truth in season and out of season. And there's another article that's pretty good. It says, why do most Christian churches refuse to preach the truth about the second coming of Christ? And they talk about it in detail on this. It says, a lot of the people don't want to think about what's going to happen with the judgment. The Lord is filled with terror and darkness. They don't want to think about that and what's going to happen in the book of Revelation, and also if we don't get raptured out of here. And, you know, and also, Christians are not, quote, bringing in the kingdom. They don't want to talk about how we need to be working together to all make this as good as we possibly can while we're here. And most people, again, think the book of Revelation is too unpleasant to consider. Guys, let me tell you something. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Not one jot, not one tittle shall be taken away from this until all of these things are accomplished. That's what the Word says. Whoever teaches someone to do not what the Word says will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. It's not that they're not going to get saved, but that God's not going to put them at a higher place in heaven. We've got to realize that we've been called and we've been set apart. We've been called according to a purpose, and we can't compromise our lives. We can't compromise our calling. We have to understand that we have a limited time to get as many people into the kingdom of God as we possibly can. And that's one of the biggest things that Christians don't do. They don't see it as an opportunity to get people saved. They see it as an opportunity to compromise. I believe that God will bless you if you follow His words. I believe that He wants everybody to have the income to eat clean and eat the right foods and take supplements and be able to support ministries. I believe that with all of my heart, and drive a decent automobile. I believe all that. But guys, there are certain things we have to do. You can't eat like you're about to. You can't eat everything you want to eat and do whatever you want to do from a dietary standpoint and wonder why in 20 years you're 100 pounds overweight and you feel absolutely awful. Because there are consequences to actions. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus and also in Deuteronomy, certain foods we need to avoid, certain foods we need to eat. Because God wants us to know, He wants to bless us in every area of our life, so that we will live long, we will prosper in the land that we are in. Guys, this is what's so important, that we preach a balanced gospel to everybody, make people realize the power of Christ and the power of the blood of the Lamb. But I'm running out of time. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening to us on Hagmann. Thanks for just being here and praying for us. Gosh, I appreciate you guys. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, we appreciate all the support, all the emails. We've gotten a lot of emails over the weekend, as always, so we're going through those today. Mondays are always busy, but we do appreciate all the questions and all the support. We try to answer everything as physically possible as we can, and we're going to keep giving you guys the straight-up news, as we always do. You guys notice there's no commercials on here. We don't sit here and have any ads. We don't have any ads on the website. I mean, it's all as clean and as clear as we can make it, and I'm really hoping we can really try to expose, because of how big this Vegas shooting was, it's almost a goal of mine now, because I really want to expose it. You know, the Pulse Knife shooting, it got locked down so fast because of where it was and how it was, and it was in such a small room. This is one of the first mass shootings that we've had on this size that was in a completely uncontrolled environment, you know, outside in an amphitheater area kind of style, at a concert. So there's a lot of people that had to have been there that have seen fishy stuff. All these people are posting videos saying the same thing we are. There's got to be some people out there that are willing to come forward and say, this is not what we're talking about. This is not what we saw. This is not what they're telling you. So we're going to keep doing the best we can to bring you guys the real, true information of what actually happened out there, and maybe we can expose it for what it really is. But until then, if you guys need anything, email us at healthmasters.com. You can go into the search bar at the top and type in the word contact and fill out the contact form, and it'll send directly to our email. And also, too, if you want to pull anything up on the website, you can look at all the different products we have, all the different kits we have on the front page. We put together the Maximum Energy Kit a couple weeks ago for all of our customers that was asking for a kit of basic products that really help out with overall energy but still keep the cost low. And so that's what we've done with the Maximum Energy Kit. And, of course, we have multiple other kits on there, like the Hagmann Blood Sugar Protocol. But check those out at healthmasters.com. Also, be sure to check out the product of the week, the Magnesium Brain Food. That'll be on sale for over 10% off till Wednesday, until we get the other product, whichever one wins. So be sure to vote for the other products you want on healthmasters.com and let us know what you guys want to win. Most of them are neck and neck, 40 votes, 40 votes, 38 votes. They're all over the place. So be sure to vote and let us know, guys. So we appreciate all the support. We thank you for everything you guys do. And listening to the show and promoting the show and forwarding the show to your friends, that's how it grows. That's how it gets bigger, and that's how we wake up more people. And, yeah, it's definitely something that we appreciate from everybody, and the phone call. So if you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. Again, 1-800-726-1834, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.